The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was pondering our gospel lesson this week, I saw in the midst of it on Friday, my wife and I went to see Clue at the Palace Theater in Marion. So in pondering the gospel lesson, it led me to appreciate a scene in John's gospel where there are interesting dinner guests, right, if you're familiar with the story of Clue. At the dinner party in our gospel lesson, we have Lazarus, who's just been raised from the dead. Martha was serving. We know Jesus is present. Mary's anointing him. And in John's gospel, we hear that Judas is there among the guests. And when watching Clue, that's a whodunit mystery. But there's a lot of finger-pointing and accusations that are going around. And we see that in our gospel lesson today, to a degree. Finger-pointing that is rooted in our original sin. The finger-pointing and accusations that we make towards one another actually distract us. Distract us from what really matters, what we should be paying attention to. Judas is accusing Mary of being wasteful. Judas is being accused by the narrator of being a thief and a betrayer. Yet, at this dinner party, we have betrayers, squanderers, doubters, and judgers, all with Jesus. What does that tell us about Jesus? But in this scene, even we get distracted. Whether Mary's doing the right thing or not, we get caught up in trying to unpack Judas's and even Jesus's line. You will always have the poor with you. Some have used this as an excuse to not really be invested in serving the poor, because Jesus said you're always going to have them with you. But Ben Williams points out that Jesus might have been referring to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. There will never cease to be some poor people in the land, Therefore, I'm commanding you to make sure you open your hand to your fellow Israelites who are needy and poor in your land. Many of those translations of Deuteronomy 15:11 explicitly say poor. The NRSV translate it more broadly as some in need. In being consistent with the ways and teachings of Jesus, it seems that Jesus is saying, you will always have opportunities to serve the poor because they will always be someone in need. It's not a reason to neglect them. But you see, even going down this trajectory, we've been distracted because we have to unpack what Judas has sidetracked us with. People can recite that line. You'll always have the poor. But do they recall what's going on? Can they make reference to what Mary's doing? Do they recall that it comes from a story right after Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead and he's sitting at this very dinner table? The deflecting and the distractions, the accusations, they're real. We do it in our own discourse in our society. I might be doing this, but I'm not stealing from the common purse. Say what you want about me, but I'm not wasting how our resources are being spent. Perhaps it's the sting of death that we want to be distracted from. It's what we want to avoid here. Lazarus is very present at the table. And while I'm sure it's a cause of celebration, if I was invited to this dinner party, I would be reminded of my mortality staring at me in the face. Whenever I've lost someone close to me, you wrestle with your mortality. Lazarus and all those gathered at that dinner party would die someday. And what is seen as Mary's wasteful act of anointing is also a reminder of death. As one commentator puts it, because that anointing is a fragrance that is associated with death. Jesus even says in our gospel lesson that she bought it for the day of my burial. So even that pleasant smelling oil would remind people gathered at that dinner party of death in the air. In the distractions and deflections, we miss the preparation for death that is taking place. We miss that Lazarus being there isn't something we should fear or avoid as death having the final say, but that Jesus has power over death. And that as he journeys to the cross, and as we encounter the empty tomb, we see Jesus doing a new thing, and that we are joined to that. But if we're distracted in accusations and finger pointing, we're going to miss that. Mary may also be foreshadowing what Jesus will later teach the disciples. As Mary washes the feet with her hair, on Maundy Thursday, we will hear the story in John's Gospel where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Mary may have paved the way for Jesus teaching this command for all of us to love one another, to wash each other's feet, to love one another as he has loved us. Both Mary and Martha are serving, and there's a Greek word for that, diakoneo. Diakonia, where we get the word deacon from. Once again, when we're paying attention first and foremost to what God is doing, we aren't getting lost in focusing on what others are doing, or whether or not we're doing enough, or how others could be doing something better. But we're drawn in to Christ's call of diakonia, service. When the sting of death is staring us in the face and the fragrant reminder of death, no matter how pleasant the smell can trigger the sting of death within our soul, where do we then center ourselves? Is it in Christ or is it in the world? Is it in ourselves? Because when it is in Christ, it's going to be filled with joy. It's going to be filled with hope. It's going to be filled with the Spirit that moves us to be generous in word and deed. To serve not because we have to, but serve because we want to. And as the church, our resources should never be squandered. I know we're not perfect, but whether it be for what we utilize in the sanctuary, or our fellowship hall or our kitchen or educational resources. It's not meant to be for an exclusive group of people, of members, or in this day and age, subscribers, but it's open for all people in the community to come and to encounter and to experience the love of God in Jesus Christ that is very present when the assembly of saints gather together in word and sacrament and in fellowship and service. Today we have the commissioning of our Stephen ministers. We give thanks for how they've entered this process of training and answering the call to serve and to now this day be sent apart to provide one-on-one Christ-centered care to those in need. And it should call to mind Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. There will never cease to be some people in need in the land. Therefore, I am commanding you to make sure you open your hand to your fellow Israelites who are needy and poor in your land. They will be opening their lives and their hearts. They will be giving of their time and their talent and all the wisdom that they have gained and continue to gain as you continue to learn in this process to walk with those in need. And it's a ministry of our congregation. As you'll hear reiterated later today, we all are a part of this, even if one is not commissioned as a Stephen minister. Scott reminded us of this last night, that we all are more attentive in looking out for who might need that Christ-centered one-on-one care from a Stephen minister. But it means that we're not going to be distracted. We're not going to deflect. We're not going to point fingers. We're going to be focused on ourselves, but centered on the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be, first and foremost, focused on Jesus and knowing that the good news of Jesus Christ has power over death, that we have victory in our Lord, and the promise that we've received through the victory of the cross sustains us in such a way that we're able to walk with others who are hurting, who are in need in this broken world. And as I said, whether one is a Stephen's minister or just all of our calling as part of the priesthood of all believers through the waters of baptism, we are called to be sent forth from this place to open our lives and our hearts to serving all who are in need, bearing witness to the love of Jesus Christ. As Luther writes in his explanation of the Eighth Commandment in the Small Catechism, we are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. What if we did more of that rather than being distracted by our finger pointing and our accusations that we can make with one another? What would it look like if we embodied the ministry that Mary embodies today, centering our lives on Jesus and embodying a ministry that's truly called to serve others, to wash the feet of another, to love each other as Christ loved us? What would that look like? If we stop just defining and dividing people as evil, wasteful, and sinful, and to see that everybody is included at the dinner party, that we also would be signs of God's grace, that we would ourselves be invitations of welcome to the feast that has no end. So I'm thankful for those who have answered the call, and I continue to be thankful for all of you who support this ministry and the many ministries that we embody here at St. John Lutheran Windfall in sharing the love of Jesus and opening our lives and our hearts to serving anyone in need in this community. For in sharing the love of Jesus, we are to go out into the world and be a healing presence to all, giving witness to the power of Jesus in life and in death. Thanks be to God. Amen.